And we continue at 109 Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, due to the massive increase in crime in Los Angeles, we at KBC have just installed the Ric Flair police siren.
Woo! 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 Woo!
If you hear that noise anywhere in or around Culver City, that means the vending machine has been broken into.
Probably by an employee.
Well, it is a radio station. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. As we told you yesterday, Los Angeles City Councilman Kevin DeLeon, formerly of the California Senate, has announced that he plans to run for mayor of Los Angeles. And Randy, we can't do a Kevin DeLeon segment without our patriotic duty of allowing Kevin to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Everyone that's not in their car right now, please stand for the flag salute.
Madam President, today is Tuesday and time for the flag salute.
Mr. DeLeon, can you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
Thank you very much, Madam President. It'd be an honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Indivisible, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It really makes me teary-eyed every time I hear the pledge.
Might be the best clip of 2021.
800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a journalist, a political strategist, and all-around superwoman. Jasmine Kanick, welcome.
Okay, hi, John. That just brings tears to my eyes every single time I hear it. I'm sorry.
You know, it feels like the 4th of July every time he does the pledge.
And here's the thing, right? Like, we're all busy people. We don't say the Pledge of Allegiance every single day in our lives. I understand. Maybe we forget a word or two. You had plenty enough time. You have enough staff to pull it up on your phone or your tablet ahead of time. So there's no excuse. No excuse.
You ever see that clip of Pia Zadora singing the national anthem at the Laker game where she forgot the words?
No, but plenty of people have done that too. I mean, again, I wouldn't put myself in that type of situation if I didn't know, you know, all of the words. But, you know, that Kevin clip is going to be infamous, and I think it will follow him on the campaign trail everywhere he goes.
Absolutely. Now, he has announced...
As it should.
Well, he's running for mayor now. He wants a promotion from the city council to the mayor's office. Oh. And
okay.
You, I take it, are not a big fan.
So, let's we always speak frank to each other, John, right? So, this is the man who just got on the city council. Now, those of us who are involved in politics knew all along that... He only wanted to, you know, take Huizar's seat just to be there, just to run for mayor, because a lot of politicians are under the assumption that they look better to voters if they're already in office, right? That is definitely not always the case. Now, he's only been there a year, and now he's declared that he's going to run for mayor, and I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I think that, look... If you wanted to run for mayor, you should have run for mayor, and you should have let someone who wanted to represent the 14th district for the rest of Jose Huizar's term and perhaps beyond take that seat. You should not have taken that seat with the intentions all along of abandoning it. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for voters to show politicians and that we're not going to go for that. Like, you cannot do that. That's absolutely ridiculous for him to do that. Well, I would be embarrassed if I were him.
Ever since we instituted term limits, there's been this never-ending game of musical chairs. And none of these guys care about whatever office they're in. They just care about the next one. And he went from the Assembly to the Senate, running for U.S. Senate and losing to Dianne Feinstein, to the City Council. And he's just going to make a career out of hopping from office to office to office. But when you're worried about what's coming next, you're not taking care of business in the present.
That's absolutely correct. And look, you know, I put all my cards on the table. My career has been working for politicians, helping them get into office. And yes, I will one day, you know, run for higher office myself. But I'm very clear on a couple of things. I won't be that kind of politician, right? So Kevin is, you're exactly right, one of those folks who hop from office to office to office. And like I said, when he ran for the 14th district, he was asked multiple times by his constituents, will you stay? Will you be here? Will you sign this pledge? As a matter of fact, there was an LA Times article that was done on both him and Mark Ridley Thomas, because at the time it was rumored that they both were going to run for mayor, and neither one of them would commit to not running for mayor at the time. And so it became very clear back then, at least definitely in Kevin's, with Kevin, that he was just literally keeping a seat warm until he could hop to a higher office. LA, I love my city, and we are, you know, we are in trouble right now. And so the next person who comes into the office of mayor has to be someone that can help get us back on the right track. And that's not going to be Kevin. As of right now, all of the people who have declared that they are running for mayor, as far as I'm concerned, none of them are fit for the job. Not a one. As far as I'm concerned, we're ready for a female. I'm surprised, as liberal as Los Angeles is, that we have never had a female mayor. There have been countries that have had, you know, female leaders, but not the city of Los Angeles. And I think given our housing crisis, our homelessness crisis, and all of the other problems that we have in this city, I think now is a good time for us to perhaps look in another direction in terms of who we elect to lead our city in 2022.
I don't know what your experience has been, but my experience with politicians is that if you're running for office and you have a clear idea of what you want to do, those are the best people to put in, because they have an objective, they have a plan, they have people in mind to put in key positions to make sure that their ideas get enacted as ordinances or votes that the people take or whatever the case may be. The politicians who always end up getting in trouble are politicians who run for office because they think that they're supposed to run for a specific office as a stepping stone to another one, or I'm making a lateral move here because of term limits, or if I take this one, it'll position me for some job in the private sector in the future. Those types of electeds always end up getting in trouble, always.
Okay, so here's the thing, John. I was having this very conversation with my cousin yesterday, because, you know, as someone who's been engaged in politics for a long time, I was saying, when did we go from public servants to VIPs, right? And this was in relation to the protest ordinance that was voted on yesterday, right? And, you know, my cousin brought up a really good point. She said when we started caring about what they were wearing, what their kids were, where their kids were going to school, you know, things of that sort, instead of actually what bills they were writing, what bills they were voting on. We did for quite some time. We cared more about what, you know, the first lady was wearing, right? Or what a certain politician, you know, looked like. Or you know, where their kids were going to school, more than we cared about what they were actually doing in the office that we elected them to. And so often we elect people and we don't care about them. We don't think about them for the entire 4 or 5 years they're in office until they come back to us again and ask us for their vote again. And we have to stop doing that. For people who consider themselves to be super smart voters, that's not very super smart. That's not smart at all. Just, you know, electing someone and then turning your back on them and letting them run wild for 4 years doing whatever they want to do. Kevin, with me, I have a personal issue with him too, because he also took over $20,000 from Ed Buck, never spoke about it, never gave back any of the money, ignores me, ignores the victims, continues to lie about returning the money, and never gets held responsible for it. As a matter of fact, John, there are two people running for mayor who are in the top three beneficiaries of Ed Buck. Mike Feuer, who took over $18,000, our city attorney, and Kevin DeLeon, who took over $20,000. These are, you know, two men who want to be our mayor, who took oodles and oodles of money from Ed Buck and continue to, you know, stick their head in the sand every time his name is mentioned, right? Don't want to talk about it, wants to ignore it, you know. They want to act like they were never friends with him and they don't even know who he was. That's not the type of leadership I'm looking for in my next mayor at all.
Can you remind the public just exactly who Ed Buck is and why taking money from him is a bad idea?
Yeah, so right now Ed Buck is an inmate in jail headed to prison. He was convicted on 9 counts after 2 men died in his West Hollywood apartment of crystal meth overdoses. And a third almost died. He is a Democratic donor, or was a Democratic donor, who had given over $500,000 to politicians in Los Angeles County. Over $500,000. And mostly none of them had anything to say about it, you know? And it really wasn't until he was arrested in 2019, in September 2019, that people at least started to acknowledge that maybe something was wrong here. And then in July of this year, he was actually convicted. No thanks to our former DA, Jackie Lacey. This was all done at the federal level.
And you mentioned that Kevin DeLeon took substantial amounts of money from Ed Buck and didn't give it back. He claimed in a public forum that he did. Let's listen.
He did not.
And now we're going to have one tough question specifically tailored by the endorsement committee for each candidate. So the tough question for Kevin DeLeon is, last year, a young man named Jamel Moore was found in Ed Buck's West Hollywood apartment. Buck is a 62-year-old millionaire known for his high-dollar contributions to the Democratic Party and candidates. It is also alleged he paid for the company of young, poor black men whom he would inject with crystal meth. While Moore's death was initially ruled a suicide by accidental overdose, people coming forward and evidence point to Buck's culpability. With that in mind, will you be issuing a public statement condemning Ed Buck and returning or donating the $18,000 in donations you received from him? As a note, Karen Bass, Congresswoman, did return all her money, not to Ed Buck, but donated her money to Jamel Moore's family.
That's actually not a very tough question at all, whatsoever. Because I know Ed Buck has made a lot of contributions to a lot of Democrats, progressive Democrats up and down the state of California. And the answer is unequivocally, without any room for ambiguity or vagueness, the answer is yes, without a doubt. Be very clear about that. In fact, I think it's already been done already, quite honestly. That's already been done.
Did you donate the money to an organization or is
it? No, I got to talk to my staff. Either we returned it back to him or I got to ask my staff if we went to a. If we went to a donation, it went to a domestic violence, but I got to check with my staff.
Can your staff answer the question before the end of the night?
The car is dark here. Yes. You go check, please, because that's not my finance app. They can
call your staff
me.
Because I'll alert me when I can answer.
Absolutely. But the answer is yes, without a doubt.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Jasmine, did he tell the truth?
Yeah. No, he didn't tell the truth. So don't know anything about a statement. And he definitely didn't give the money back to the victims of Ed Buck. I think he likes to say that he donated it to some white women's domestic violence organization up in Sacramento. I don't know what that has to do with black gay men in L.A. County who are homeless and struggling with addiction. I have no idea how the two of those populations connect at all. So no, he did not give the money back. And You know, what's really interesting is that last year when I was working at City Hall, he was running for city council, and he was very angry at me because I blocked one of his endorsements at one of the Democratic clubs, and I, you know, kept talking about it. And he literally tried to go to my event. No, he didn't try. He literally went to my boss, you know, like it was 1955, to say, you know, make that girl stop talking about me, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the kind of person he is. He's just a horrible human being. He, you know, he's not the kind of person that Los Angeles needs at the helm, for sure. Especially in 2021, when you have a man who thinks that he can go to another man just to silence a woman he doesn't want to hear talking about something that he did. So there are just so many reasons why Kevin De Leon is not the best fit for Angelenos. Those are just a few of them. And I encourage people to do their own research. There's a reason why he didn't beat Dianne Feinstein. There's a reason why he, you know, Google him. He's had his fair share of problems. You know, he's a no-go for me. His candidacy was dead on arrival when it was announced. And like Mike Feuer, I just look forward to following him on the campaign trail.
I can't believe he tried to get you in trouble at work. That's so rude.
Oh, he did. You know, that's a really low blow. And I think it says a lot about a person when they cannot, you know, you can't have a conversation. They can't have a conversation with you. Like, I'm a pretty approachable person. You know, what am I going to do? You know, I hit you or something? Look, you took the money. You refuse to acknowledge that you took the money. You refuse to acknowledge these victims. You refuse to return the money. Let's figure something out. You've got way more than $20,000 in your campaign chest. Let's figure something out.
Jasmine Canick, independent journalist, political strategist. You can get her online at imjasmine.com. That's Jasmine with a Y, by the way. And follow her on Twitter at Jasmine. Jasmine Canick, great to hear your voice.
It's always great to speak with you, John. Thanks for having me.
You know, after that whole situation that happened yesterday, Randy, I'm beginning to think that God really doesn't want me to enjoy that patty melt and drink that scotch.
I think you're going to defy the Lord on that one.
What do you say we try again today?
Hey, at the very least, you'll come back with an interesting story.
I'm hoping for a boring story today. How's that?
Just want a nice dinner.
I only need to see the SWAT team once a week, not twice. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. Well, out of all the idiotic things that we've done in the state of California, first on the list has to be defunding the police. They did it at the LA County Board of Supervisors. They did it at LA City Hall. And they also tried it up in Oakland. And Randy, how did that work out for him?
In fact, just as recently as June, Oakland City Council voted to defund the police yet again at $17 million from their budget. And Oakland is experiencing quite the crime rave as of late, including recording their 100th homicide just as we're getting into the middle of September. There are businesses that are getting robbed like crazy. It is getting really unsafe to be anywhere near Oakland. And it's gotten so bad that that same Oakland City Council that has voted multiple times to defund the police is now talking about refunding the police.
I love the fact that they seem genuinely surprised that all of this is happening, too. I mean, come on, people. Stevie Wonder could have seen this from a mile away. For more, here's KPIX-TV.
We start with a surge in violent crime. The numbers from Oakland tell the story.
The city just recorded its 100th homicide. Put that into perspective, Oakland was at 70 homicides at the same point last year.
And this afternoon, Oakland officers were called to another shooting. A man rushed to a hospital after gunfire near Bond and High Streets.
Now, all this has city council members who voted to reduce police resources now talking about whether to add officers back to the force.
KPIX 5's John Ramos explains the apparent reversal.
That's quite a reversal.
Yeah, no kidding.
Our bad. Whoopsie. We get a mulligan on that one.
They sold out faster than a 72-pack of Charmin.
A surge in violent crime has reopened the debate about whether or not more cops mean more safety.
A man found shot to death yesterday outside the Coliseum BART station was Oakland's 100th murder victim. Today, Councilmember Shang Tao introduced a proposal to add two new police academies, one this year and one next. It was a move that Mayor Libby Schaaf has been advocating, as the department has shrunk to 694 sworn officers, the fewest since 2014.
Oakland has the lowest officer per violent crime staffing of any department in America.
The council's concern is if the number of cops falls below 678, the city could lose Measure Z funding, which goes to various purposes, including firefighting and violence prevention. But some feel the city could get an exemption from that, and much of the public...
Wait, is that their real concern? Not that crime is through the roof in Oakland, is that they might lose other funding because they're below federal levels of how many police officers you're supposed to have?
The murders don't bother them, but the loss of government pork does.
And much of the public comment at the council meeting reflected a lack of support for the police department.
I want to advocate strongly against the creation of extra police academies that we know do not keep us safe.
We can't keep throwing our tax dollars at police.
Having more police does not prevent more crime, so I'm not really sure why this would even be a viable option.
Oh, I guess the people of Oakland don't mind the crime.
See, this is why we can't have nice things. Because dummies like them really do believe what you're hearing.
But despite a rocky relationship with the police, some in the black community still see the need for them.
The current climate, a lot of people don't trust police, but unfortunately they are people that we need because people want to feel protected.
But even if the council decides to create the new academy classes, Oakland Police Officers Association President Barry Donnellan says it won't be nearly enough. He says the academies take a year and a half to produce a maximum of 45 new officers. But the department is currently losing an average of 10 officers per month.
Some of that's resigning. Some of that is officers getting shot.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, if everyone in town is getting shot, some of them are going to be officers.
There was an Oakland police officer who got shot today. He is surviving, hopefully, but it is not a good time to be out there. It's a war zone.
He says they're not retiring. They're leaving to work someplace else.
They're not valued. They're not valued by the city council. They're demonized. They're vilified. Oakland police officers seem to be blamed for all the ills in the city, yet there's so few of us.
And as the city debates the value of police, the onslaught of violence continues. In Oakland, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
Now, here's what's interesting. You just heard about how bad things are in Oakland right now in terms of violent crime. That brain-dead mayor of theirs, Libby Schaaf, who you heard interviewed in that rap from KPIX TV, is blaming the rise in crime on the pandemic. Oh, yeah. Thanks to the lab in Wuhan, the crime in Oakland is going up. Makes perfect sense to me. Let's hear more. This is from KGO San Francisco.
This is heartbreaking. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf got emotional today as she talked about Oakland PD investigating the city's 100th homicide of the year. This is not just 100 lives lost. This is 100 groups of children that don't have a loved one, a mentor, a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle.
Wow, she's really got those platitudes ready to go.
Oh, yeah. No, she can write for Hallmark when she gets termed out.
Mayor Schaaf made these remarks after attending a roundtable with Attorney General Rob Bonta on combating hate crimes. Schaaf told reporters...
The Attorney General has no interest in actual crimes.
Oh, no. Well, he's another George Soros clone.
Schaaf told reporters she's committed to finding solutions for all violence in Oakland and said part of that is adding staff to the police department.
I've been very clear. Oakland needs more police officers.
Were you that clear last year?
Well, let's go to the tape.
We currently have fewer than 700 officers policing this great city of 440,000 souls.
We asked Schaaf why homicides are again on the rise in Oakland after there had been several steady years of decline. Her answer? The pandemic.
Has nothing to do with the defunding of the police. It's because of the Rona.
We asked Schaaf why homicides are again on the rise in Oakland after there had been several steady years of decline. Her answer? The pandemic.
Once the pandemic happened, many of our tools were taken away from us.
You mean like when you defunded the police?
You know, when the pandemic hit, you people locked us inside our homes. It's hard to shoot the neighbor if you're locked inside your home. You would think that crime would go down.
We're also at the, hopefully, tail end of the pandemic. We're not in lockdown mode.
Hopefully.
Once the pandemic happened, many of our tools were taken away from us. And a sense of desperation, a huge increase in the purchase of firearms, and the flooding of our streets with untraceable ghost guns.
Schaff said Oakland's ceasefire program that provided social support and resources to people most at risk of committing or becoming a victim of a gun-related homicide had been successful in reducing violence. But since the pandemic, resources have been stretched thin.
Oh, wait, Oakland had this program, too?
This is where they pay you not to shoot your neighbor.
How's that going?
And pay you not to get shot.
There's 100 dead bodies that would beg to differ of the success of that program.
You know, our politicians down here are bad. But after hearing this woman speak, I think out of all the politicians in California, she can hide her own Easter eggs.
I do get that little sense of joy when we play all these raps from the Bay Area, knowing that as bad as things are here, at least we're not San Francisco and Oakland.
Absolutely.
Schaff said Oakland's ceasefire program that provided social support and resources to people most at risk of committing or becoming a victim of a gun-related homicide had been successful in reducing violence. But since the pandemic, resources have been stretched thin.
Right now, the tools that allowed us to use that last resort are not available, and that must change. We have to stop this bloodshed.
So is she saying that the program to pay people not to shoot each other ran out of money, and that's why murders are up so high?
Well, they should get refunds for a lot of the money they've been paying people, because if everyone's getting shot, that means someone's doing the shooting.
Well, if you track down that money and you try to get that money back, you might be the next number on that body count.
Yeah, no kidding. My mama didn't raise no fool. One of the things that has absolutely destroyed public safety in California, besides the defund the police movement, is our stupidity in voting in elections for district attorney. And when I say our stupidity, I mean the voters who voted in a George Gascon or George Soros clone in George Gascon to be the district attorney of LA County. The same thing happened in San Francisco, where Chesa Boudin was elected district attorney up there. And George Soros is now trying to take over the Orange County District Attorney's Office. That would be a massive mistake and put public safety in Orange County in jeopardy. Todd Spitzer is the incumbent district attorney. He is a tough-on-crime kind of guy, the exact opposite of what George Soros wants in that office. And one of the reasons that you need a tough-on-crime kind of district attorney is that they're is violence and there is crime everywhere, including Orange County. So when you catch them, you need to do something about it. And Randy, criminals in Orange County are now targeting the elderly.
That's right. They're doing distraction robberies where somebody has a quick little conversation with you at the door while their partner breaks into the back of your house and steals your stuff.
For more, here's KTTV.
It started with a knock on the door by someone the victims thought they could trust. It ended with their homes being robbed. Now police in Orange County are looking for the suspects who have been targeting older residents. Mario Ramirez has the latest clues for us in this trend of crimes that we're seeing. So many people being targeted this way.
Just spoke to a resident here who's been at her home for over 50 years. She says she's really noticed this type of activity, these distraction burglaries on the rise in the last 18 months or so. We're in one of the neighborhoods that was targeted, and we'll talk to one of the victims in just a moment. But first, I want to show you this surveillance footage released by Anaheim PD. It shows two of the suspect vehicles they believe are connected to a string of these distraction burglaries. The first, a silver or light blue BMW X3 SUV seen leaving a victim's home on September 18th. The second vehicle, a 2008 2008 to 2014 gold or tan Dodge Caravan. Now, part of the scheme, investigators say, involves a pair, one posing as a new neighbor or utility worker to lure the elderly victim away from the home, while the second finds another entrance to ransack the home. And I want to come back out here live because Brent is an Anaheim resident who has had this exact crime happen. How did this happen to you?
Well, a woman came to the door, very friendly, said that her grandparents bought the house behind me, wanted to get access to my yard.
This is why I never answer the door for anybody.
Yeah, no kidding. The Amazon man will ring the doorbell and leave the box. That's all you need.
If it's wine, I'll sign for that. Other than that, I'm not answering the door for anybody.
Wanted to get access to my yard, I guess, to clean up some trees or something. I said, there's no border of the house behind me. I took her back there to show her, and she kept wanting me to go. I have a large piece of property. She met me back there far enough so I couldn't look back toward the side gate to my backyard that I brought her in. And unbeknownst to me, there was somebody else with her that apparently she was speaking to on the phone, told them in Spanish. In fact, she asked me if I spoke Spanish. I said no. And so she's talking to him in Spanish. She said, go into my house. And then finally, I just said she was not making sense anymore. So I said, I got to go. All of a sudden, she gets on her phone, says something. And apparently, the guy went running out, which my neighbor across the street saw. She kind of went out the gate fast. And I walked up and I saw that somebody else was with her. And I thought, something's going on.
Something
I tried to get
suspicious.
A picture with my phone, couldn't pull it out fast enough, and immediately called the police after I went in the house and found out they had ransacked my bedroom.
Yeah, so unfortunate that happened to you, but it's great to hear your side of the story so we can really get the word out. If you recognize absolutely, we want the public to know as well. So if you recognize the vehicles we showed you, you can call the Anaheim Police Department. Michaela, we'll send it back to you.
Please.
You know, these criminals will do whatever it takes to steal your stuff, including prey on the elderly.
It is so unbelievably cruel. Why can't they let the elderly sit there in peace while they get suckered to buy stuff on HSN?
That's right. You know, they took this poor guy. They had him give a tour of the property, a tour of the backyard. He doesn't even know how Judge Judy ruled. We've got one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.